Well, fellow believers in our Savior, Jesus the Christ, grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. Once again, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Malakalikimaka, Feliz Navidad, and all the wonderful ways that we express this joyous season. Yes, Christmas message on the calendar, it was yesterday. Christmas Eve was the day before, but in the church, we're still in the season of Christmas. So it's fitting to greet one another and to continue to talk about what this season is all about. On Christmas Eve, I rejoiced with you over the wonders and the delights of one of the most wonder-filled passages of Christmas, the angelic birth announcement that a child is born to you. If you were here on Christmas Eve, I mentioned those two words, to you, is significant for us Lutherans. Because not only do we hear the pronouncement of Jesus' birth, that he is given to you, but we also hear it at our Lord's table whenever we come to communion, that his bread, that his body is given to you, that his wine, that his blood is given to you, for you. And not only is it given to you, but it was given in an actual day. This day, the angel pronounced. It was in a historical moment. It was in a real date. Had there been a calendar on that day, they would have marked it, the significance of that day. It was an actual time in history and in an actual city. In the city of David, the angel proclaimed, in a real, actual, and a city that still exists to this very day, in Bethlehem, Ephratah. This child is the Savior, the angel proclaimed. The Savior, the one who saves and rescues his people from eternal damnation and restores them into right relationship with God the Father. What a pronouncement that the angel made that night to the shepherds. The Savior is none other than the Christ. The one anointed by God, set apart by God to do battle for his people against the death, the devil, and all sins. He is Christ the Lord, the almighty and sovereign Lord of all lords, the one who simultaneously rules over heaven and earth and the entire universe. That's what the angel of the Lord announced to a band of fear-filled shepherds in the fields of Judea that night. Now, all of that ought to spark a question, cause us to ask, why? Why did a child, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, why had he to be born in the real city of Bethlehem over 2,021 years ago? Well, the answer, my friends, lies in our gospel reading for today, particularly the verses 13 and 14 of Luke's chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13 or 14, we're told that after the angel had made the birth announcement of a Savior, suddenly an army of angels appeared in the sky. Evidently, it takes an angel to announce the birth of Christ, but it demands an entire army of angels to respond to it, to praise God for it, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And therein lies the answer as to why a Savior was born unto us. I hope you caught it. The angel's song, song of praise to God, reveals two great reasons or two great purposes as to why Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, was born among us. In the liturgy of the church, we used to sing this song, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." See, there it is. The birth of this child is to be the greatest revelation of the glory of God, even among the highest of heavens. And the birth of this child will bring peace to all God's people on earth. That's the proclamation. That's the significance of the angelic song of praise. The question, of course, is what does this mean? What does this mean to us? Well, first and foremost, God is glorified in the very act of Jesus' birth because of the birth of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. He is glorified in that very act. And of course, you ask, you know, what does it mean to glorify something or someone? Well, to glorify anything is to acknowledge what it is and to use that thing for what it's intended to be used. That's what it means to glorify something. So, for example, you know, the use of a car, of a vehicle, as a transportation vehicle transporting you or others from one place to another is to glorify a car. To use the same car as a chicken coop, or anything other than to transport one person from one point A to point B. To use the car for any other purpose than mode of transportation is to unglorify it. So it is with God. The birth of his Son among us gives glory to God because it reveals and acknowledges the fact that God deeply cares for his people. And as the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, nothing, therefore, in all of creation shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So yes, the first reason or the first purpose as to why Jesus was born in the first place is to give all glory and honor to God. It's for us to acknowledge him as our God who loves and cares for us enough to live and dwell among us as one of us. For that is what a good and loving God does for his creation. That is who God is in Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. Now, the second reason or purpose as to why Jesus had to be born among us is so that there may be peace everywhere that this child is received and believed. So there they are. There are the two reasons, the two great purposes for the coming of Jesus, for the birth of the Son of God, for Christmas. It's for God's glory and for our peace. Now, who is to experience this peace that the army of angels proclaimed? Who is to be the beneficiaries of this peace that this child has brought into the world? Well, according to the angelic praise song, such peace is to be among those whom God favors. Now, I don't know how about you, but when I read that, the question comes to my mind is, does this mean that God is selective as to whom he will dole out his peace on earth? Is he picking and choosing who will get his peace, the peace, and who will not get the peace that Jesus brings? Is that what it means? No. That is not what that means. The point here is that even though God's offer of peace, God's offer of peace goes out to the entire world. God's peace is offered to the entire planet, to the entire inhabitants of our world. But only those who receive, only those who welcome, and those who believe in Jesus as the Christ. And only those who trust in him as their Savior and Lord, those are whom God favors. And only they will experience the peace that the child born in Bethlehem brings. So we can't say, well, God is picking and willy-nilly chooses who he will love and favors. No, he loves and grants favor for the entire world. But only those who receives and welcomes and believes in his son, Jesus Christ, that was born 2021 years ago, will experience the peace, the favor that he grants. You see, we get a glimpse of this in Luke chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, when Jesus sends his disciples out on their first mission trips. You know, he commissions them to go into the local villages and preach and teach the gospel and so forth. But then he says to them, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. That is the global peace that God offers to the entire planet. Peace be to this house. That's not selective. That's inclusive of everybody. But then he goes on. And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. But if not, it will return to you. In other words, not everyone will receive, will welcome, and will believe in this son that was born 2,000 some years ago. Therefore, not everyone will receive the peace that he brings. Again, God's peace in Christ Jesus is offered to the whole world, to every nation, every tongue, every person under the sun. But only the persons of peace receives it. So how do you know if you are a person of peace? How do you know if you are part of those whom God favors? The answer? When you receive and welcome the peacemaker in your life. Not the gun, but the peacemaker, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. When you receive and welcome him into your life, that's when you know you are a person of peace. When you receive and truly trust your life to him and call him your Savior and your Redeemer, that's when you know you are a person of peace upon whom God favors. Well, dear friends, my desire for you this Christmas season is that you enjoy this peace that Christ has brought and brings continually into the world. No, there are three relationships in which we are to pursue and to enjoy God's peace. These three relationships are peace with God, peace within ourselves, and peace with others. Now, by peace, I mean not only the absence of conflict, not only the absence of war or animosity, but also the very presence of joy-filled tranquility, the very presence of calmness that only Jesus can provide in the midst of the storm of life. Now, I will unpack these three relationships of peace next Sunday with the hope that it will propel and guide us into the new year as people whom God favors. So until then, I entrust you into the glorious hands of our wonder-filled God, whose Son was born unto us some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, and who still lives among us. Still lives among us through the power of the Holy Spirit, offering us everlasting peace. So friends, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, strengthen your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to y'all. Amen.